My name is Caroline Faulkner. Welcome to the Dynamic Astrology Podcast. I am joined here today with my co-host, Greg Pidcock.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to a new segment of the Dynamic Astrology Podcast called Astrology Real Talk. And this just is going to give Caroline and I a chance to kind of get into what's going on in the world in terms of our world leaders, politics, our own personal astrological situations, and you know, potentially in the future get into some emails and comments from our listeners. So thank you for having me, and let's get into it.
Okay, let's do it. I know you have a couple of questions for me, Greg, so whenever you're ready.
You know, it's so crazy, everything that's going on in the world. I almost don't even know where to start, but right now both of us are in London, and we've seen one of our political leaders, Boris Johnson, go through one of the biggest kind of turnarounds in ideology I've seen in quite some time. You know, he went from thinking that the virus was a hoax, basically, and not really believing how serious it was, to actually contracting it and becoming seriously ill and changing his whole perspective. How do you think that his star chart and plays into all of this?
So I haven't studied his chart in depth, but I have had a little look-see, obviously. And his sun is in the sign of Gemini, and every single sign goes right or it goes wrong. And Gemini gone right is a strategist, it's a thinker, it's the person that conveys the right messages. And Gemini gone wrong is all about changing your mind really quickly, being super capricious, being very fickle, and being untruthful. Now, the other thing about Boris Johnson's chart is he actually has what's known as the North Node in the sign of Cancer. Now, I don't say Cancer, I say Cancer, so, you know, tomatoes, tomatoes, potato, potato, whatever. and so the North Node changes sign about once every 12 or 13 months. And the North Node, we all have it in our charts. As far as I'm concerned, it indicates a time of karmic reckoning, if you like. And so he actually contracted the virus when he was in the middle of his North Node return. Now, the North Node is always directly opposite the South Node in your astrology chart. And it's basically where you're going in this life. And because this is in the sign of Cancer, Cancer gone right is all about caring about your community and looking at things like a family and, you know, really taking care of things and being a sort of, you know, guardian, whether or not it's a brand guardian or a guardian of someone's children or the guardian of the United Kingdom, which, you know, like him or whether you voted for him or not at the moment, that is basically what he is, you know? So I thought that was really, really interesting, because the thing that a lot of people don't seem to realize is that karma is the thing that makes the world go round. You cannot escape the eye of karma. And that's why when people make these horrific decisions, I always think, you know, when you become a great bodhisattva or a spiritual practitioner, which I'm not, you get into the space where when someone is committing, you know, heinous crimes against humanity, and that's not what I'm saying Boris Johnson is doing, although 14,000 people are dead, and we can't escape from the fact that the UK and the US were warned in January, you know, by leading scientists that this was coming, and we have been very slow off the mark. And I know that we're doing as much as we possibly can, but 14,000 people have still died, you know, including our care workers. So I think the North Node in itself is the thing that's coming to the fore right now in his chart. So what you think about that? But
yeah, it's interesting how you know, you mentioned the death count, which is obviously the scariest thing, you know, and it sounds so abstract, but managing that, you know, and as a leader, you know, I think what you're saying is he does have potential to care for the UK, and maybe he had to go through that to get there. But then when you look at, you know, yeah, and you mentioned Trump, obviously we'll get to him, but then you look at in Europe, you know, a really similar, not similar, but kind of geographically similar, politically aligned ally, Germany, you know, they have a very, very low death count and very, very good leadership. How would their leader, Angela Merkel, contrast to Boris at this time? Because for me, that's very interesting. two similarly populated countries, strong economic countries, you know, with long histories. Why is Germany doing so well and has such a low death count right now?
Okay, so I've been talking about this for quite a long time, and I know that many other people that sort of study, you know, other sort of new doctrines, if you like, you know, astrology and the like. And we are moving, whether people like it or not, from a patriarchal society and system of governance toward the matriarchal system of governance. And the thing is that, you know, even the Dalai Lama, he's been saying for years, if more women were in positions of power and leadership, the world would transform. And Angela Merkel she's doing a phenomenal job. I mean, we have always, the countries that are doing the best, you're talking about South Korea, for instance, the countries that are, you know, fighting this virus, that the ones that are doing really well, actually, they have always been saying, test, track, and trace. Okay. And the countries that are doing, you know, that are sort of, you know, their death counts are lower. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, that's the real mark of success, if you like. You know, we're you know, not losing so many of our brothers and sisters, and they are our brothers and sisters.
Exactly.
And so Angela Merkel, her sun sign is actually Sansa. So the North Node is connecting right with her sun. So this is part of her karma, part of her destiny. On that note, I think we're going to go to a break and we'll be back soon, folks. Thanks for joining us.
See you soon.
We hope that you're enjoying this podcast so far. FYI, we are completely self-funded and independent creatives working tirelessly to bring you the best and most current astrology content. If you would like to show your appreciation, of course you don't have to, but if you would like to, please do consider visiting our Patreon page where you can donate to the show. You'll find us at patreon.com/dynamicastrology. There are a selection of great benefits available to our patrons, such as uncut snippets from the podcast. You can send through questions which we'll answer on the show, get access to our newsletters, and much, much more. There are also other ways that you can help to support us. You can support us by upgrading to premium on our website, which is dynamicastrology.com. That's all written from scratch by us for you. You get unlimited access for 1 year for £25. You can also buy the books. The Signs is available in 10 different languages, so please do search that. And also Your Stars 2020 is quite uncanny, and it's a coaching and astrology journal specifically designed for this year. If you are in the US, then you would need to search Your Signs. It's called Your Signs 2020. So yeah, let's get back to the podcast. Thanks, guys.
Welcome back to this edition of the Dynamic Astrology Podcast, where we're getting a little deeper into some astrology issues with Astrology Real Talk. And we were just talking about the political leaders like Boris and Merkel and how they've been handling the situation. But a lot of you guys don't know how Caroline and I met, which was, God, it seems like forever ago now, at the wonderful restaurant Sketch in Mayfair, London, where she was launching her book, Your Stars 2020. And I have been at Sketch for about 5 or 6 years. I've seen 40 or 50 creative talks, book launches, you know, nights like this go down. And, you know, some of them are wonderful. Some of them are interesting. Some of them are okay. This was exceptional. And I remember Caroline gave a talk. It was about 30 minutes long. And the whole room was just kind of, you know, on every word and laughing and really getting into it. And then we all kind of just met each other after, and that was you know, an extremely memorable time to meet someone. And it was also interesting because of the content, and Caroline was talking about how 2020 was going to be a massive consciousness shift, and most of the audience was kind of like, cool, that sounds great, you know, like, nice, they were interested. But for some reason it really stuck with me, and then now what's been happening in this early part of 2020, it's all becoming clear that I think there was maybe something that's hard to measure in science and typical methods, but actually has something more to do with, you know, the big story of the universe. So Caroline, maybe you could talk a little bit about, you know, how Your Stars 2020 came to be and how you knew and what signs you read to give you this idea that 2020 was going to be such a shift in consciousness.
So Yeah, that was such an amazing event. That was one of the my favorites, and the team and you at Sketch were just phenomenal. I mean, we even had our own drink created, which was Electric Star Lady, and it was just like the whole thing was incredible, you know. Anyway, back in the days, BC,
going places.
Anyway, it was amazing. So what happened was, so I wrote my first book, The Signs, and then I started writing monthly forecasts for Tatler magazine, part of the Condé Nast family. And one of the commissioning directors at HarperCollins wanted to know how far into the future I could work. And so she asked if I could do something for 2020. Now, this was music to my ears because I don't study, you know, too far ahead into the future because I get overwhelmed. But I had been looking at 2020 and 2021 because I'd always believed that this was the reboot of the Age of Aquarius. And no one else was talking about that at the time. So I started researching it and they commissioned me to write the 2020 journal. And I was saying this the other day, if none of this stuff had happened, that journal, people would have thought I was crazy. You know, and also the talk at Sketch that I was doing, I went back in time, and this, one of the biggest things that we've got impacting us at the moment is an astrological alignment called, and it's the planet Uranus, which is every single sign has a ruling planet, like a boss or a governor, right? And every moment, everything is always moving, yeah? Shifting, transiting, and your birth chart is like a snapshot of, you know, certain, you know, planets that we use in astrology and signs and symbols at the time you were born.
Right.
There are also certain snapshots at certain times in life and throughout periods. And what astrologers do is they go back in history and look at what was happening at certain times. And then it's like astrology is used as a way to measure patterns in the universe and indeed how they impact events on Earth. So I realized that the last time we had Uranus moving into Taurus, and do you remember I was talking about this in Sketch as well at the talk, the last time we had Uranus in Taurus and it moved in May 2019 was 1934, and in 1934 it was the rise of fascism. Yeah, now bear in mind it was just before World War II and it lasted for 7 years, right? So think about it, Hitler, also Taurus, you know, Jupiter, Uranus is the mass awakening, the great awakening. And as I was saying at my talk back then, I said, there's nothing we can do to dodge this alignment, yeah? Nothing, you know, it's coming and that's that. The thing is that we can always influence how we work with these alignments. So what I was saying was the difference that we have now is people power. We're all connected via the internet, yeah? So people can't get away with all of the stuff that they were getting away with back then because, you know, information, like even the countries that are under sort of, you know, state sanctions and, you know, quieted by the governments and stuff like that, they're still getting news and messages out to journalists and, you know, freedom fighters via the internet, which is ruled by Uranus. So this is the thing that we're under at the moment. The other alignments that are also mentioned in the Your Stars journal. So Saturn is a planet and its natural sign is actually Capricorn. It rules Capricorn and it's the ancient ruler of Aquarius until Uranus was discovered in 1741 by an amateur astronomer called William Herschel. And Uranus like flip-flops, it's a very, very strange planet. It has a really funky orbit, yeah? But if you know any Aquarians, then you'll know that they're really different beings, yeah? Slightly alien. So the thing is that what happened is Saturn moved into the sign of Aquarius, and it's all in the journal. Like people have been sending me the page from all over the world. It was published in the UK and the USA, and they're calling me a witch and stuff. I don't think I'm a witch. You know, I'd rather say I'm a human being that studies the stars. But anyway, so the week that Saturn moved into Aquarius, I was talking about this mass awakening and how everyone could be feeling overwhelmed. And I was giving little missions on how to stay calm, and moderation was key. Well, that was the time when the unaware people were running out and stockpiling and everyone was panicking. And I mean, literally, it was crazy. Now, we've got Saturn in the sign of Aquarius, which basically held us accountable for our actions, right? an Aquarius, so the planet always represents what does that mean? And then the sign it's in represents how is that going to play out? And there's always a gone wrong or a gone right, yeah? So this particular situation, Aquarius is all about freedom. It's all about, you know, being connected. Again, it's Aquarius is ruled by Uranus, which governs the internet and mass awakenings and, you know, all these things. But it also, on a deeper level, it triggers our humanity, you know? So there are, like, deep lessons to be learned. Yes, we've all been restricted. We're all, like, you know, locked in and, you know, we're having to get really creative in order to save our sanity, because Aquarian energy can also send you crazy, right? That was a laugh for experience.
But this is, you know, this is the kind of talk about astrology that I like, especially when you talk about people who are, let's say, not as interested in astrology or don't understand. It's like, okay, whatever you think about the stars, there's a bunch of practical solutions in here and really practical ways of getting through things and understanding the world. That, like, that's what I love about astrology, is when you say, like, okay, this is going to help us. This is how you can look at this. This is the positive of it, you know?
Well, because there are some people, though, that say, they talk about astrology and it's so fatalistic. Like, I as soon as I see someone saying, oh, Mercury is retrograde, you know, don't do this and don't do that, I stop reading what they've got to say. I'm not interested. Yeah. Like, it's absolutely, I'm sorry, but like, seriously, it's an optical illusion, people. It happens 3 or 4 times a year. You can't blame, you know, your email or your computer blowing up. Do you know
but
what
it's
I mean?
A great like, excuse for being late to a dinner.
Well, totally. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's not the planet's fault. Mercury has had enough. You know, Mercury is like saying, listen, people, like, this is boring. Like, seriously, like, you know what I mean? This is really boring. So anyway, so the Saturn in Aquarius, that moved in and it stays until 2023, I do believe. And it retrogrades again back into Capricorn. But the thing here is that the virus arose under the sign of Sagittarius, right? Now, Sagittarius is all about the truth. On one level, it's about the truth and the higher truth. It's the opposite sign of Gemini. They're both learning about the truth from different sides of the spectrum. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. One of them delivers the truth with a pointed arrow straight in your eye, and the other one avoids the truth until it's forced to embrace the truth. If we're generalizing, that is, yeah. So Jupiter is the ruler of Sagittarius, and then it moved into the sign of Capricorn on December the 2nd. So all these planets are working together to deliver a deeper truth. Well, you know, I cannot predict things. You know, I don't want that responsibility. I'm not Nostradamus. Do you know what I mean? It's like
that was actually my last question was about the future. So
I'll try.
Not about wanting to know the future, but just
I'll try this situation. I'll try. Yeah. So I think for me, as soon as this lockdown was introduced, I was saying to all of my friends, we're not going anywhere until June. And they were like, no, that's, you know, June is so far away. You know, this is the beginning of March. I was like, we're not going anywhere until June. And they were like, you know, having panic attacks and everything else. And then when I started studying it again the other day, Jupiter, the ruler of Sagittarius, which expands everything it touches. So at the moment, it's in the sign of Capricorn, which is about austerity, authority, structure, government, establishment, economy, money, banking, all these things, yeah? So Jupiter doesn't move until December 2020, and then it moves into the sign of Aquarius, which is what I was talking about, was the reawakening of the age of Aquarius.
Right. Okay, so when that happens, it's like we're kind of moving through this authoritarian, everyone uses this word, draconian measures, this intensity to get to that, you know, period. And when you look back to fascism, was there a similar movement that said, okay, when they entered that period, was there kind of a release as well, when it was kind of like the ending of that?
Well, actually,
I don't know if there's like a parallel.
Yeah, actually, it was, again, it was Uranus, which is the ruler of Aquarius. Uranus was in Taurus in 1934. It stayed there for 7 years. Then it moved into the sign of a Gemini. And Gemini gone right is all about intelligence.
Right, so code by 42, yeah.
So code breaking. So what happens was, you know, Alan Turing, you know, the greatest code breaker. That guy was I've dedicated my book, The Signs. If you look at The Signs, you'll see that this book is dedicated to the greatest code breaker in our history. Do you know why? Because he was so persecuted, because he was gay. Do you know what I'm saying? So he was persecuted, yet he actually, his intelligence and, you know, his dedication to, you know, deciphering, or, and, you know, Hitler used an astrologer as well. Hitler used two.
Yeah. And, you know? And really his Turing's dedication to humanity, because in spite of him being persecuted, he still wanted to save the world from fascism and do his bit.
Yes.
Which is like, it's so hard to go, oh, well, everybody hates you, but you're still trying to help everyone. I mean,
right.
What a guy.
But for me, that's like the ultimate, like bodhisattva. It's like a bodhisattva. It's a like high level bodhisattva, because he was going through all of that. I mean, what he actually went through, you know, well, watch the film about him. I don't know if you've
seen
the film.
Yeah, no, I've seen it. He's wonderful. Yeah, everyone else, you should definitely check out the film.
So that's when it all shifted, right, which was in 1942, when Uranus moved into the sign of Gemini, and Gemini was working at its very best, which was like, right, what we're going to do is we're going to use intelligence to sort this out. They got Hess, they did a big thing with Hess and said, you know, they got Aleister Crowley involved, I do believe. And they were saying, we've drawn the astrology charts and we believe that it's a very fortuitous time for us to negotiate peace. Well, of course, as soon as he landed on British soil, that was it. He was arrested. And that was when it began to crash.
You say it like that, when the government having an astrologer as well, that ties into the way that I think about astrology, which is like, it's another way of looking at the universe. So it's like, we have all of these telescopes and radiographs and everything, and we have astrology. It's one of these tools. And I think that's such a, important. All governments should have an astrologer alongside their scientific.
A lot of governments actually do. And years ago, there wasn't a court in the world that didn't have their own astrologer. But the only issue there is that one astrologer is actually, I've always said this, is not enough. True. Yeah. Because what you have then is you've got total a dictator.
Right.
Because, you know, I mean, everybody always, you know, moans at me, especially when I do talks in America. They're like, don't say that. I'm not the best astrologer in the world. And in America, they're like, you know, the PR people I work with, they're like, Caroline, don't say that. Because they're like, well, if you're not the best, we want to go and find the best. There isn't a best. You know, I'm not the best, but there isn't a best.
I do understand.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's
that's the American mentality for sure. And that you don't want to have an astrologer going, well, my interpretation of the stars is the one
exactly.
And only interpretation.
Exactly.
And you must follow my, because they could have their own ego involved.
But that's exactly. And also it's all depending. Like, I know from having my book translated in, like, you know, 10 languages, because my you know, I've been studying Spanish for quite a few years now. When I saw the translation, sometimes it's called, like I say, gone right or gone wrong. And they say positivo or negativo. Well, that's not the correct translation, because actually it should be functional or no functional, because positivo or negativo is completely definitive. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
And so for one astrologer having that amount of power, I'm very dubious about that, even if it was me.
Yeah, and even in the simple thing in a translation, you see how the message was changed from one language to another, that any simple, you know, it's really dependent. So I guess we have to teach the presidents how to read the stars themselves then.
Well, you know, a lot of them, Joan, what's her name? Quigley.
Okay.
You know, she has a book, you know, What Does Joan Say? Because Nancy and Ronald used to use an astrologer, but it's like a lot of the women I work with, the husbands say, what does Caroline say? So I knew that book was for real. However, she broke the code. You never, ever, ever talk about your clients unless you're called up in a court of law or you're under personal, you know, real persecution of getting burned at the stake. You don't talk about your clients, no matter what they say or what they do. If they want to talk about our work, that's up to them.
Well, yeah, it's a spiritual domain. You know, there's a great deal of respect there.
It's against spiritual law.
Yeah.
You know?
The same with, you could say like a confessional, you know, situation where it's just like, there's no reason that any of that information should be shared.
But it's also like the Hippocratic Oath.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and even Hippocrates, he was the one that said, a physician who calls himself a physician with no knowledge of astrology has no business calling himself a physician.
Wow.
But you see, but Greg, people again misinterpreted that, because back in his day, to become an astrologer, you needed to be a seriously educated person.
Of course, because just to be able to read and absorb all that information you'd have to have access to things that people didn't have, resources to go
to the sciences. You had to have a serious education behind
you. Couldn't Google your star chart in
70. No, and then call yourself an astrologer a year later. Do you know what I mean? It's like we all see them. Do you know what I mean? It's like we're
life
you.
Coach.
I mean, the thing is that with all these things, I mean, that's what I'm saying. So I think it's absolutely fascinating. But if you're asking me, I don't think that we're going to be released, so to speak, until June. I think June, it will be a slow trickle and an introduction, right. But I don't think that the virus is going to have gone. And I don't feel like we're going to feel like, because at the moment, it's almost like we're underwater and we're all treading water at the moment. I feel like there's not going to be a massive shift until December. And
the treading water thing is a good example. And I've been speaking to a lot of people who are just kind of finally realizing what you're saying, that we're going to be here for a while. You know, a lot of people were, they refused to kind of mentally get in, you know, whether they were using coping mechanisms like drinking too much or, you know, just kind of denial about the whole situation. And now that it's sinking in, like you said, it's like, okay, what strategies can we stop treading water during this time?
Yeah.
And look at it like a massive opportunity, you know? Yeah. And I think there's a lot of ways to do that, from like beautifying your home, finding new projects that interest you. It's like, if someone said, look, you got 6 months, but you can't leave your house, but it's going to be amazing if you want it to be, you know, I think that with that perspective.
100%. You know? It just brought to my mind something funny that my friend told me the other day. Hmm. So I don't know if it was Holly and Phil or Ruth and Eamon on This Morning, but they called a doctor in, and the doctor was supposed to be like telling everybody to stay at home and all the benefits of staying at home. But this doctor went rogue and he started saying, people, please stop doing home renovations. We cannot cope with you falling off your ladders. We cannot cope with you hurting yourself. You're breaking your legs, your arms, your foot. You know, it's like, people, please, you know, if you weren't builders before, and even if you were electricians, stop.
Yeah,
stop.
Stick with baking.
Yeah. Yeah. It just made me laugh. He was supposed to have been on there saying about, like, you know, stay at home, people, but that wasn't his message. He was like, yeah. Let me just say, people, stop with the home renovations.
Yeah, this is not the time to learn how to use a chainsaw in your back garden.
This is not the time to be rewiring your own house with no knowledge of electricity.
But it is the time to be learning about astrology, researching how to paint, you know, stuff you've already been interested in, watching beautiful documentaries. It is the time to absorb and create beautiful things, I think.
100%. But you know what I like the most is that the masks are falling and people are connecting on a real heart level. And so, you know, even I was reading an article the other day, I can't remember, I sent it to Mr. Producer. Where was that article? I can't remember where it was. I'd like to credit them. But the article was saying that the vast majority of people in the UK are saying they don't want things to go back to normal. They like the air being purer. They like being able to take a slow down, you know, take a moment to slow down. They like it.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, they like the fact that there's a much more sort of compassionate society out there. They like the fact that instead of us all praising people who are famous simply for being famous, we are now praising the care workers. We are praising people. I went into a supermarket when I got back from France in March, and I had a mask on, everything else. And the guy was saying, you know, I'm scared to come to work. I wish I could stay home. Do you know what I'm trying to say? So all these people that are stacking shelves and feeding us, and, you know, these are the real heroes at the moment. And they were so overlooked. You know, the bin men, you know, everybody, they're coming to collect our rubbish. And there was a really funny thing in the news last week. There was a bin man who was taking a video of all the houses, and they were literally stacked up with alcohol bottles. They were saying, this is how the UK is handling the lockdown. Everybody's absolutely paralytic.
Oh, you know, I had my mailman deliver me a mask this morning, you know, and I saw him and I was just like, thank you so much.
Exactly.
You know, I don't think I've ever thanked a mailman
as
deeply as I did this morning.
And really, that's what I'm trying to say. Instead of, you know, these people that are just famous for being horrible, you know, or being, you know, famous for, you know, like getting plastic surgery and all that kind of stuff. It's like, we're actually appreciating the people that we ought to be appreciating.
Yeah. And you know, I got a message. Yeah. I got a message the other day. I did some art project. This was a thank you for inspiring me to do my own art project. They were just like, loved your project. Now I want to go do an art project.
Oh, exactly.
And and it's like not just, it's there's ways. So, you know.
I think so too. And I think that the other thing is that we're, you know, a lot of people are crying and a lot of people are emotional. And this is an emotional roller coaster because we all have to slow down. We can't go running around the place and jumping on planes and acting the way that we used to act before, you know. But I think it's all going to be okay. And I think the fact that the countries that are smashing it at the moment in a good way are being led by females. We've got, I can't remember her name, but we've actually got the lead scientist at Oxford University who's working solely on the vaccine, another woman.
Wow.
You know, do you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, that old saying, I can't remember who actually, I wish I could credit it. Maybe we'll stick it on the video. But you know that saying, it's like, if you teach a man to fish, he will, and I'm not just talking about men physically, because a lot of women have got male
energy
and mentalities.
Macho, you know, that style.
Me and my own. Yeah. So it's like, you know, if you teach a man to fish, he will, you know, feed himself and his family. Hmm. If you teach a woman to fish, she will feed the whole village.
That's so, what you need.
Exactly. So I think, unless you have any more questions for me, I think that's a wrap for this episode. And then we'll delve into the US episode.
I think ending it on women leading us into the future is a perfect place to stop.
Oh, Greg, such a leverin.
Thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. And we'll see you again next week with a lot of guests from America, which, you know, Caroline will tell you more about soon.
Thank you for listening, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope that you have enjoyed this episode of the Down Theology Podcast. Please join us again next week. Subscribe. We will be joined by some incredible guests from across the USA in Transatlantic Tales. We'll be discussing the impact of COVID-19 across the ocean and tips for the signs, as well as tricks to stay safe and to stay sane. If you would like to support us, please do visit our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/dynamicastrology. See you next week.